Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance, and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
This is a top to we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see, the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11, oh, 11,
and most
11,
of the amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up, all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show right here on the Horn. It's Foxed Up with John Fox, where we turn the conversation to conservation. Foxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions in Sydney, Australia, and CityNet, citynet.net. B1 Louder by ringing 877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 877-443-2366. Or use your free minutes by dialing direct 304-658-5453. Yeah. Ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox.
All right, everybody, welcome aboard. Foxed Up here for a Sunday night or a Monday morning, all depending on where you reside on this beautiful blue marble, such that it still is. And yeah, it's a live show, and I don't want to hear it about last week. My laptop keyboard decided to shit itself. So there wasn't really much I could do about that, except go get another one! And anyway, that's that. You know, after 4 years, a key gets stuck. What are you going to do? But welcome aboard, everybody. Got a bunch of stuff to get to today. First of all, congratulations to Bob and for the first video broadcast this past week from West Virginia University that, you know, all things considered, went fairly well. And, of course, since that day, I've been inundated with people going, so when are you going to start web, you know, video casting, John? See, I love what technology can allow you to do. But, I got this thing that just because you can, is it always good to do? Or should you? Honestly, with what it takes for me to get together to do a show first thing on a Monday morning, remember that, folks, Monday morning here in Australia, the idea of having a camera pointed at my face is not the highest thing on my list. However, I do understand the concept that it might be the future of what we have to do to keep this conversation going. But I know I did the video casting thing once, but that was like pre-recording it and sticking it up there. I don't know. See, I've had more time to think about it. And, I'm not totally, you know, saying no. And I'll probably end up doing it. This is true. Hardly anybody watched. This is true. But, you know, I still think it's really cool, especially when we do these remote things from events, right? I'm like all for it. But, you know, a couple months ago, and due to time and everything else, I really don't get to listen to Tom Hartman as much as I used to. In fact, recently, not much at all. And I caught a bit of video from one of his radio programs. And it was on some of the new revelations in the JFK assassination. And, you know, close your eyes, it still sounded like radio. But I still noticed even Tom Hartman, a guy that I would think would not be, you know, a guy that would be real big into the whole camera thing. But I do think he's a guy that's just like, you know, use whatever venue it takes to get the message out. But I even noticed he, when talking about the book that he was a part of, actually showing the book to the camera, this, you know, and it was kind of one of these, you know, this book right here. And he said it like three times, this book right here, but never actually said the title of the book. And I thought, see, even a guy that I dig as much as Tom Hartman, once that camera goes on, there is a massive hole one can fall into, which is suddenly that it doesn't become radio anymore. And, you know, if I wanted to be some sort of purist, up myself jackass, which I can be, I'm like, are we doing radio or are we doing television? But see, the whole thing's so blurred now. You're on the net. The box that you have can support all types of media, so one would say to me, why limit yourself, you moron? Then I think, who the hell wants to sit there? A little mystery. I reckon it's a lot more fun when, you know, the giggling goofball on the other side of the bloody internet, you can paint your own picture. But, you know, anyway. It's the ever-changing face of media. And I don't know, it's with now the demise of Air America and all that. I think it's all got to be about getting this, spreading the word on the horn. And I'll tell you, ever since Air America went kaputsky, I've seen what seems to be a gradual increase of volume of new people coming to the horn. Which is really groovy. I think it's excellent. But I hate when I do that. See, here I'm sitting there thinking. I see something in the corner of my eye in the chat room, and then I forget what the hell I was talking about. But I will get on to the first item of business. I was scanning around in the old Sunday talk shows today. And a lot of it was just shit. And, oh, by the way, blog post is coming. Something got lost in the intertubes between Gene and myself. We'll get that sorted out during the first break. You know, McCain's on bloody Press the Meat. That's a joke. That interview, and I wish I had had time before the show to go and pull some grabs out of it, because, I mean, I'm starting to wonder why I ever had any respect for this guy. You know, there was a time when I looked at John McCain as being a pretty decent guy. And maybe it was the whole war hero persona that had been sold. But in an actual moment of something resembling journalism, from the model boy that runs that show, he plays some tape of John McCain about how the Republicans needed to play the politics of health care during the Clinton administration. And it showed very clearly that in the 90s, John McCain, exactly the opposite about his party's tactics than he is today. And when confronted with this, he just kind of wrote it off as saying, well, that doesn't matter because you're bringing it up to show me contradicting myself, and so I won't even answer the thing. And tried to say how things were completely different. And I love that. It's all completely different. I don't need to explain why I'm acting different than I did the last time we talked about this. Maybe because it's just the thing that lets me get on Press the Meat yet another week. Now, I'm all for politicians going out and getting in front of the cameras and trying to communicate their whatever. But, you know, McCain's really gotten to be a bit of a joke. And I'll bet you anything, McCain will get all the news coverage on the weekend. However, yeah, in the chat room. Are you crazy? John McCain wasn't a war hero. I understand that. And that's what I'm saying. But, you know, I do remember in the past that I didn't think John McCain was all that bad. I'm starting to think he's batshit fucking crazy now. I'm starting to believe that the guy has lost, and because he's under threat from one of these Tea Party jackasses in Arizona, I'm getting around actually to the bit of audio that I do have, which was Nancy Pelosi with Elizabeth Vargas. And I don't know how calculated the wording of this is. And you know what? I really don't care. And if it is actually calculated, it kind of reminds me that Nancy Pelosi is not a silly or stupid woman. We all got gripes about people in politics. But with how broken this system is that we have in the United States, Nancy Pelosi's house has been getting some work done. But that defunct, fucked up Senate which has become the monkey wrench to all progress, has stopped any of that from being able to be seen by... And, I mean, I've been seeing more and more about it. I mean, it still amazes me. You can actually see the facts being put out there, but yet, for some reason, it doesn't get through. I don't understand why this doesn't get through with a certain population, a certain part of the population. And you actually look at the House, and, you know, they passed a shitload of legislation, and a lot of it with tons of bipartisan support. Now, you can use the argument saying, well, the Republicans are free to vote for it there because they can always stop it in the Senate. And yeah, that's there is that. But still, I mean, some of these things, there's only been like 14 no votes or 15 no votes. So, as far as that body, in the grand scheme of things, they've tried to get the job done. They've actually tried to work through the Obama administration's agenda, which, regardless of whatever side of politics you're on, that all kind of looks how it should go. I mean, come on. And, you know, she's been able to herd her cats. I mean, we aren't talking about Democrats here. And she's done a pretty damn good job. But I think, I've had my moments where I can't stand her. There's things she's done that I've thought have been absolute shit. But when given the opportunity to be leader of the House under Democratic president, she's tried in the broken system to do her job. But the Tea Party thing came up with Elizabeth Vargas. Now, that the language of this I thought was just amazing. Now, I'm not sure if I'm going to stop this in the middle and talk about it or let it run through. But just listen to how crafted this is, and I'm not saying crafted in a
it's double speak.
No, not at all. This is actually clear and to the point, talking about the fact, some of the facts where there were the original Tea Party people. She doesn't say it, but, you know, Ron Paul's mob. And I really, you know, some of what those people have been riding on, I don't mind. The decades. Not this last shit that's been going on the last few years. And I don't back their platform or anything, but they got out there, they're active, they were constantly shining a light on taxes, and there are things about the Federal Reserve and all of that that I don't like. But she clearly explains, not even explains, just kind of states matter-of-factly how that's been hijacked and co-opted by the GOP. Now watch. If this makes it into the bullshit machine, the 24-hour news bullshit machine, it'll get spun completely away from what I think is really, really straight up answer. So, here we go. Nancy Pelosi.
Let's talk a bit about the coming elections in November. You had recently, and the Tea Party movement, do you think it'll be a force to be reckoned with? You had said last summer that it was a faux grassroots movement. You called it the AstroTurf movement. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is the Tea Party movement a force?
No, what I said at the time is that there were, the Republican Party directs a lot of what the Tea Party does, but not everybody in the Tea Party takes direction from the Republican Party. And so there was a lot of, shall we say, AstroTurf as opposed to grassroots. But, you know, we share some of the views of the Tea Partiers in terms of the role of special interest in Washington, D.C., that just has to stop. And that's why I fought the special interest, whether it's on energy, whether it's on health insurance, whether it's on pharmaceuticals.
So common ground with Nancy Pelosi and the Tea Party movement.
There's some, because they, again, some of it is orchestrated from the Republican headquarters. Some of it is, is hijacking the good intentions of lots of people who share some of our concerns that we have about the role of special interest. And many Tea Partiers, not that I speak for them, share the view, whether it's, and Democrats, Republicans, and Independents share the view that the recent Supreme Court decision, which greatly empowers the special interest, is something that they oppose.
Yeah, maybe I'm seeing more in this than is there, but I don't think so. And there, you know, at the end, that last bit where she talks about that Supreme Court decision where it's like, hey, you know what? We all agree about this. And this and very subtly putting the idea out that either the, first of all, the obvious fact that the Tea Party movement, which became the Tea Baggers, is an AstroTurf GOP hijacking. Then the thing starts to get momentum. And with that momentum, as happens in these situations, the nuttier side of the world starts to get involved. And they end up making the people that kind of hide their racism or other out there views, makes them feel more comfortable to voice some of those views. So, but I just felt there in that little bit of audio, it was giving credit to real grassroots people. Whether we agree with the the original, and I refer to them as the Ron Paul people. And hey, you know, during the Republican National Convention, I mean, I know we like to talk about some of the weird stuff that Ron Paul's into, but during the Republican National Convention in 2004, I do believe it was, or was it for the 2008 election where Ron had to hold his own alternate bloody convention because he was speaking things that we liked to the then Bush administration. So I can't, as this whole nut job thing has exploded, I am constantly reminded of, you know, the old style libertarian people, you know. Not the one, you know, there's not the extreme, which we see so much of and probably has become a bulk of the movement. But, you know, some of that stuff, I don't mind. But it's so easy for these AstroTurf outfits when they got lots of money to say, hey, come on, hey, you want to go on a bus trip around the bloody country and go and make some noise at some, you know, liberals? So you go and start offering that kind of crap to people, you're going to end up drawing people that really don't, are just co-opting and taking advantage of someone else's grassroots movement. It's wild. And I just found it fascinating. And I love the way it kind of at the end, it was a little bit of an invitation to say, we see eye to eye on some of your older core issues. You know, maybe, you know, if you don't like how your thing's being co-opted, maybe you shouldn't be siding with the GOP. Maybe you should be siding with the Democrats. Just a thought. Just a thought. And Tim's telling me it was 2008 where McCain had to have the alternate convention, you know. And you know, this guy's been a lifelong frickin' Republican. I mean, this just shows you how that party has just shrunk itself down into nothing but the whack jobs. And those whack jobs are looking for anything that they can jump onto. Because they got no momentum of their own. They have to jump on someone else's coattails. It's all they got. That and fucking talking points. And we'll get to the whole healthcare debate bullshit thing later, which I found fascinating. And I say bullshit because it never was going to be what it was billed as, because the Republicans would never actually let it get to an actual debate of substance. And John Boehner is just a fuckwit. And, you know, drop this subtle little bit of shit at the end, like, oh, I haven't had my time on camera yet, so here's my thing. And just left a big fucking turd in the middle of the place. While everyone's, like, looking, going, was that really necessary? Yeah, and I should say boner. I usually do. But, anyway, it's just, it's crazy.
It's crazy!
The hell time is it? Okay. I'm gonna take a little musical interlude here, and we'll get some linkages back out to Gene. And so you can get to them, too. Anyway, before the show tonight, I'm sitting there going keyword search into the music library. It's kind of becoming a bit of a thing now. We might end up having musical breaks programmed by keyword. And so first I started looking for songs about boots, just because of the subtle ass-kicking that Obama gave the GOP. But there weren't that many there. But so I started talking about, like, you know, just walk. They're not, these people are not going to negotiate with you. These people aren't going to try and work to actually make the country a better place. Just walk and do it. So walk kicked up a whole lot more. So we'll do a couple of these. And I can think, a couple here in this list, but since it's just on walk, we'll have to do it. The Mighty Pantera, before their singer went a bit too redneck for me. Classic.
Walk.
You're listening to Fox Up on the Head On Radio Network. We'll be back after this.
Can't you see I'm easily your father's top of system?
Mighty Pantera. Still working on getting them links to Gene. So we're going to go and do one more here. And this one is for Tim from L.A. Because you know what, mate? Great minds think alike. And no, I wouldn't play the Run DMC version. I'd only play the original. Well, unless I was talking to Dave from Maine about some hip-hop thing. Here we go. The Mighty Aerosmith. Walk This Way.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
And alcohol. Everybody loves it, and so do I. And President George W. Bush will party tonight. Damn the consequences. Another shot. The sky's the limit. We resolve to party all the way to God.
Everybody, welcome back to Fox Up here on the Head On Radio Network, and got a few minutes left in this here hour, and coming up at the top of the next hour, we will have David from Maine on the line with the mystery track of the week, and I have a little bit of this great quote, and don't post the link in the chat yet, Gene. One of the best lines. I have heard stating the state of the modern recording industry, record industry, not the recording industry, but the music industry, that I have heard in ages. Anyway, we'll get there when David comes on. Of course, the story of the week, aside from the healthcare thing, much more important than that on the human level, is yet the planet rocked by another earthquake, this time in Chile. And, you know, the effects are actually felt all the way to Australia. Not near, nothing resembling what the warnings were, but that's okay. And I actually had people on the news going, well, man, it wasn't much. That warning system's fucked. It's like, no, it's not an advertising thing saying, like, we've booked a big fucking wave. The warning system, which did its job beautifully, was, hey, something happened on the other side of the planet. You know what? And it was fucking loud enough it could get all the way here. Guess what? Just stay away from the beach, folks. But the tsunami lost. You know, it was pretty well puttered out by the time it hit New Zealand. Japan got smacked a little bit. And they've had kind of like a really bad last couple of years. I was reminded of somewhere on the net. I can't remember where. This was a bigger quake than Haiti. However, it's probably going to be a lot less deaths because, well, the buildings actually had, you know, rebar in them. And that's just a byproduct of, you know, being a poor country. Is things like rebar get stolen before they can pour the concrete to be melted down, recycled, and probably made into more rebar. But it's a horrible thing. And there's really not much to be said except for, you know, heart goes out to the victims. You know, and because we've just had the Haiti thing, you know, I'm sitting there going, what do you say? What do you say? Everything sounds hollow and full of shit. But when these things happen, though, I wish this light bulb would go off with certain people that we as humans are still really vulnerable. And we're not vulnerable from the things that we constantly talk about, you know. And, you know, that earthquake didn't give a shit about a border, didn't give a shit about geopolitics. And Tim's telling me that Japan had an earthquake yesterday south of Okinawa. Bloody hell. Now, you know, I mean, this stuff obviously has no connection with, you know, climate change or anything else. This is all tectonic plate stuff. And, you know, why, you know, question is always raised, why do we keep building, you know, nuclear reactors? Nuclear? Did I actually just say that wrong? Fuck you, George Bush! You fucking dropped the IQ of, like, everyone by about 2 points just by your existence on the fucking screen every night. But anyway, I think as time goes by, we're going to see that even though this was a much more severe event, the devastation and destruction in Haiti will end up probably being far worse, especially the loss of life. And it's a great example of where poverty makes one vulnerable. Even with something as uncontrollable as an earthquake. It's just horrible. And thankfully, you know, the tsunami warnings and everything. I mean, did anyone else see the map? Showing the wave where they, like, you know, the projected, you know, it's like kind of like going, bang, we thought it was this big doing our math thing. It has the potential to go way over here. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like going, fucking hell. If anyone does not get how close we actually all are to one another. You're going to have this earthquake that we wouldn't even feel here. We wouldn't even feel on the same continent as where it took place if you're far enough away. But that shockwave can trigger motion in water that can be felt all the way to the Asian coast and the eastern coast of Australia. It suddenly makes that whole, it's a small world after all kind of thing real. You know, Gail was saying, you know, we were heading out this weekend. We're going and doing some estate sales and stuff like that on the weekend. And, you know, Gail's like going, you know, if you ask me as a kid, did I ever think that a tsunami warning was going to be something that I'd actually have to consider in my day? You know, I just wouldn't have thought it. Now, Tim's saying here, he said, when the ice shelf collapsed in Antarctica, the collapse of the ice shelf may have caused the quake in Chile. Well, it is possible. But, I mean, earthquakes are one of those things that do happen, you know. And it's also another great lesson in taking precaution. Well, it might not happen. Yeah, but you know what? It might. Like, you know.
Come on.
Anyway. It's just really horrible that this is going. And I actually feel that this tragedy got overshadowed because there was an Olympics on. just at least from the media that I was seeing. And I don't really want to talk about the Olympics much because I think it's a dead... It's just a dead thing. It doesn't do any good for people. And in the modern Olympics, there's pretty much no city that hasn't suffered because they hosted one in the long term. At the time, it's fucking great. Everybody's having a party. I mean, I landed here when we were having ours. And, you know, it was great that councils and stuff were paying to have free concerts and stuff outside. Loved it. Gave me and other people work. Community got out. The place was alive. But they could afford to do that shit all the time. Without actually ending up with the white elephants that we have out in the thing called Olympic Park, which is built on a toxic waste site. Someone was in the chat earlier, I saw float by. You know, I saw float by something about how there were all these clean coal commercials, but no wind commercials. You know. Well, the Olympics has nothing to do with sport, you understand. It has nothing to do with the competition anymore. The whole thing has become nothing but a corporate fucking advertising circle jerk. And it's really sad that you have talented young people having their talents co-opted to promote corporations that actually, if they were asked whether they, you know, would like their name on it, probably, you know, would think twice. But, and especially the Winter Olympics. And I know I'm going to catch a lot of shit from people like my Norwegian relatives in America. Sorry. Curling? Not a sport. Now, ice hockey's a sport. But we don't need an Olympics every 4 years to legitimize a competition. And really, my big problem with it, and it's the last thing I'm going to say about the Olympics. You know, curling, that silly fucking ice game with the brooms. I mean, if you want to play that, that's great. I mean, I love, that's a game. It's not a sport, it's a game. And probably the only thing that I really enjoyed about the Olympics this year actually was Colbert's bits with the speed skating team. Because I actually think it shone a light on the fact that it's ridiculous the amount of money necessary for an amateur competition. Of course, Tim from L.A. has to find a Rush connection in all this. He goes, what sucked this year, John, was that Rush wasn't in the opening ceremony and it was in Canada. Now, I thought the Canadians haven't. That's all fine, but see, this is the thing. 5 years from now, what is the property market going to look like in Vancouver? You're going to have a whole bunch of people that jumped into developing areas for, you know, 6-8 weeks worth of use that doesn't have the community to support it afterwards. They end up kicking locals out by, you know, not renewing leases and things so that they can knock down old places
and then build really expensive places that they can charge shitloads of money to American fucking stupid tourists.
And then afterwards, you have a whole bunch of people. This is one of the things that helped actually to lead to some of Australia's worst aspects of the financial crisis, because we had this thing in New South Wales where everybody's house was no longer worth anything near where it was during the inflated market of the Olympics, when everybody was on this fucking feeding frenzy. And then we end up with a rental market shortage of actual affordable housing. And the working people of the city, who probably did most of the work to make the event happen, end up being screwed in the long run because they can't find an affordable place to live in their own hometown. And then you watch a whole bunch of places going derelict because they're not actually of use to the community. 10 years later, and it's still coming home to roost for Sydney. That's all I got to say about that situation. So let's take a little musical break, and we'll get hooked up with David from Maine, and we'll do the mystery track. And what else do we have in this walk list? We'll go here. I started off searching boots. And for your information, folks, my news producer has just informed me the blog post is finally up at foxedup.headonradionetwork.com. The inner tube's goofed. What are you going to do? And so anyway, foxedup.headonradionetwork.com. And let's kick it out here with some Black Sabbath and Fairies Wear Boots. You're listening to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice. We'll be back with David from Maine here on Foxed Up. Stick around.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance, and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Hello, Cleveland! Hello, Cleveland!
Hour two, getting all foxed up. And now, back to John on the Head On Radio Network.
Nobody knows you. Nobody even knows your name. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. Kicking off hour two, it's about 4 minutes past the hour, and that would be the hour of 2 p.m. Monday here in Australia, and I guess it'd be after 10 there on the east coast of America, and yes, 7! Tim. Welcome back, everybody. Shit, what are we doing? Oh, yeah, I know what we're doing. We got a friend on the line. As per usual, we'll just go straight to it. Our good friend David from Maine is on the line. How you going, David?
Good evening, John. Little bit of a sad news today in music history. I think it's important to note.
What?
T-Bone Walk has passed. The Hall & Oates bassist and SNL music director. You guys
oh,
remember?
Oh, really?
Yes. He passed this weekend. And his first, I believe his first professional gig was Curtis Blow's These Are the Breaks. And he's worked everyone from Carly Simon to Charlie Musselwhite to Rosanna Cash, Cyndi Lauper, Elvis Costello, you name it, he's been on their record.
Oh, yeah.
And, and for those people who are wondering, if you ever watch Saturday Night Live, he was the guy who was always next to G.E. Smith with the hat playing bass. So there's a little reference point for you. Our childhood is being erased before our eyes. It's a conspiracy.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, man, that era, unfortunately, of Saturday Night Live itself, for memory, was lackluster, but that band was just outstanding. Smith is a mofo.
He's the man in more ways than one, you know? He had great ability interpreting songs and putting it. I always thought it was the stupidest thing, and I still think, I had a conversation with my friend that said, you know, it's so stupid that they don't that ever since they have the technology of the internet, that they don't let these music interludes play on their stream sites.
Right.
I know the reason why they can't play it on the TV, but why they cut it off and stuff like that, because these bands work so hard in putting these arrangements to these pseudo covers together, and the least you can do is let them play out on it.
Yeah, you know, it's one of the many places in life where the bean counters have really just removed any of the fun and end up actually strangling themselves, because, you know, you've gone and had them play it, you know, on broadcast television. Anyone from the days of VCRs could capture it. But that was advertising anyway. So if it ends up being really hot on YouTube, wouldn't you think that would actually help you sell albums of even a mediocre artist? I sometimes think the bean counting and the desire to control the content sometimes, or very often and more as we go on, just works to actually their own demise. That's just stupid to me.
I know it's stupid. And the other thing is there's, to me, there will always be big money in musicians and putting together musicians, and you can always get some kind of monetary value from these from musicians and artists themselves. But I mean, in particular, people who are professional musicians, I think it's a shame that we don't have a focus on musicians anymore in variety shows. In the 60s and 50s, a lot of people would let these numbers play out. You would hear 4 or 5 minutes. Now you're down to 30 seconds at the most, 40 seconds. And again, John, I think it's the stupidest thing I've ever seen, where we have the technology now. Don't give the unedited performances. A lot of people would be, I think a lot of people would be more tuned in, and you might inspire a few new musicians watching that.
Well, and it's funny you bring this up, because I discovered today, you know, because you know, I'm not in the States, and maybe it's new. But I was surfing around, and I actually landed on an ad for Mary J. Blige concerts that had been broadcast from the Ed Sullivan Theater, so on Dave's set. So it looks like, you know, after they must have played, she and the band must have played on the show, they did a concert afterwards and webcast it or whatever. And you can go there and watch the whole thing. And to me, that's just genius. And I'm going, what a fucking great idea, because I know the history of Dave's shows. The band and the PA system is actually a massive, like, focus. That band is, the house band is loud, man. I went to the taping of the old show, and it was like a pub in there. It pumped. And now with money, he's just got, that band has, like, you know, that theater is just decked. So it would be one of the greatest places to go and perform, I would reckon. And so what a great thing, cross-plugging Dave's show and people's albums and all that, giving the audience something special. But there, it's up. None of that's been cut back. So obviously, that wasn't the end of Mary J. Blige's career or her record label. It seems like there's two different angles going on. And it seems like there's a couple of these concerts, and maybe it's new, and that's a really cool idea, which is, like you said, not only are you getting the play out, but maybe you're even getting a bit of a show for the already primed audience. It would be great. I watched some of the Mary J. Blige thing. It was brilliant. But on that, I told you I had something for you, and this just fits in perfectly with what you're talking about. I don't know if you saw over at Ross Story, there's a little post about a little interview thing from the AP on with Peter Gabriel, who I have a lot of time for. You know, again, I put him in that category of the Princes and whatnot, people that are musical explorers, try and go somewhere, especially without a charted course. And takes all the risks in the world, but throws all the money and all the prestige into it that he can. I mean, the guys, you know, I love that. It was actually his era of Genesis that I really liked, you know, all the masks and all that kind of thing. He's really, you know, he's one of those guys that really tried to create an art form. And there's this bit where they say, looking forward to a concert tour to promote Scratch My Back, the former Genesis frontman sits shoeless. I like big boots, but always take them off. In a Paris hotel room, chatting about human rights in the music industry. And here's the quote that I love. He goes, the industry, Gabriel 60 told AFP, is a corpse, but there's lots of interesting things crawling out of it. And he continues on. He goes, in some ways it reminds me of the early 60s because there wasn't a lot of business then the way we know it. So people could write or rewrite the rules, he said. The digital world, I think, is the same now. And added, artists can be in 10 or 12 different bands, release a piece that's 3 days long or 3 seconds, and have a different audience for different projects. Maynard James Keenan, great example of that. And he's actually done an album where he's done some sort of trade deal. I'll have to check this out. He's done some sort of trade deal where he's done a bunch of other people's tunes, but it's a trade-off where they do one of his. And it's actually about songwriters and interpretation and trying to break away, you know, trying something different, seeing what can happen. And that's why, even if I haven't necessarily liked everything he's ever put out, but I do like a lot of it.
Right.
He's always trying to go somewhere new instead of trying to rehash. And I love that corpse comment. I think that's gonna that's up there in my top five now. I think that's one of the most beautiful things I've heard in ages because it really just kind of nails it.
I've always been impressed with Peter Gabriel's ability to merge media with art and music and bring so many people together at the same time. You know, he's the person that introduced pretty much Western America to Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan. And I don't have there's nothing bad for me to say. I mean, you got to be stupid to say something bad about Peter Gabriel because he opened so many doors. I mean, come on. I mean, and just think about the people he has had around him. Tony Levin. I mean, my God. All musicians, all great musicians in their own right, and he's let people. He's opened the door for so many people. I mean, he's one of a kind, and to me, he's a Renaissance man of music. I use that term very few for the people that are out there, and it says something about him. And without him in the industry, a lot of this industry, there would be a serious vacuum, the same right where as you would have a serious vacuum if you didn't have Stevie Wonder. He was just one of those people that was meant to be in this industry.
And he is a music for music's sake type of person. And you know, like, this is only his third record in, like, 20 years or something. I can't find the stat, but, I mean, he hasn't been exactly what you call prolific, but I'll guarantee you this thing's going to sell bucket loads. You know, I mean, because he has that reputation of it's going to be good. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be some sort of journey. And his audience, you know, and dating back from the early Genesis days when they were truly a progressive band, you know, are open for the musical journey, which is something that I'm hoping that guys like this might be able to bring back. Because I've been watching this. I just don't think we have the we don't watch these acts grow and develop anymore. They get, you know, stamped, and that's it. You are what you are.
You know, there's a great just to reference it because I think you like it. There's a great new article on Clapton and Jeff Beck in the Rolling Stones where I guess they're meeting again for the first time in, like, I don't know, 20 or 30 years, where they have a sit down and talk about guitar and technique, and it's a pretty interesting article. I recommend it to people who haven't read it, and they talk a little bit about their background. It talks about, you know, the history of where Clapton was a little bit jealous of Jeff Beck when we found out that he was the replacement. And they talk a little bit about their differences and their comparisons and their influences and their roots and places where they've crossed in their lives. And it's an interesting reminder, and they do touch on that a little bit, John, where they talk about, they said, what is it? Clapton said he was sitting at an airport and he was next to a skateboarder. This will make you say, whoa. And the skateboarder was talking about, and Clapton was talking about Beck, and he thought he meant the singer-songwriter Beck, the guy who sang the loser. But wait, this is the part that'll make you go, oh my god, the lost and facing. And he said, no, I'm talking about, you know, Jeff Beck, the guitarist. And the kid was like, yeah, I don't know who that is. I mean, this is, that's a serious, there's a serious lack of music education in this country being lost year after year, and it's getting worse and worse. I mean, you can even go back to like the 1950s and 1940s and 1930s, where, you know, they didn't put that much emphasis on classical and stuff like that. It's the same type of thing, only we're doing dealing with a giant musical in recorded music. I mean, this to me, it's different when it's a classical composer, because a classical composer wasn't alive, and you're not really hearing his. You're hearing a representation of him. Basically, you're hearing cover songs. You're not hearing the actual artist. But with Jeff Beck, you're hearing the actual artist. You can see him live. You know?
Yeah, but I'm sorry, man. That you're killing me with that one. I mean,
I know.
I mean, I. You know what I can handle? If someone saw a picture of Jeff Beck and thought it was Nigel Tufnel, that I can handle. Because I've always felt that Jeff Beck was the archetype that they based Nigel on. But that's a whole other story.
Right.
Put the two
right.
faces next to one another and you'll see what I mean. Part of me goes, okay, am I being assy? Because is Jeff actually that kind of a past generation and of guitar virtuosos, or am I, you know, should I be expecting that current guitar players should still be, you know, lining up to get tickets for Jeff Beck shows when he's got, especially when he's got that, you know, 17-year-old girl playing bass for him?
Tal Wilkenfeld. Yeah. They talk about this a little bit in the article, and what's interesting about it is the fact that Jeff Beck recognizes and acknowledges the reason why he's not a household name like Clapton, because he was never the showy type of social guy. He was always working on his hot rods. In case people didn't know, that's what he does in his off day. He builds hot rods. So Jeff Beck has not, because he's not done the social thing like Clapton. He's not done the music industry type thing where you go to the parties, you go to the clubs, you shake hands, you meet the new breed, so to speak. That's the way it works. And then because he hasn't done that, I think the problem, John, is the fact is the gap is getting wider and wider, and eventually it does start to become a disadvantage for you, even if you are the legend that Jeff Beck is. And I think that's part of the problem with musicians today. They do need to be social animals in some respect, especially if you see the emergence of technology that we have now. But I could never see Jeff Beck Twittering.
Absolutely not, man. I could see him blogging, maybe.
Right.
But tweeting, hell no. Jeff Beck. It's really funny because I have Jeff Beck actually in the list too. And I was just trying to think of, you know, you're talking about the hot rod thing. Which was a Guitar Shop, the great album cover with the Stratocaster up on the hydraulic lift. And
right. Beck, yeah, I think that was it. Yes.
And Beck underneath it. That's a classic. That's one of the great guitar album covers of all time. Seeing stuff like this from Gabriel, like, and also like what you're just talking about now with Clapton, Beck, and this kid. All right, skater boy, go back and listen to more Sublime. You know, but I don't say that in a bad way because I like them.
I understand.
But it
We've been talking about this now for a couple of years, you and I, how
the
whole industry is in such a massive state of flux, and ever since I got on the Facebook thing, and like you say, being the social monsters, like I now have Joy and DJ Kemet in my friends list, right? And
right.
I get to watch how they use the social thing, man. They are all over it, you know, as working musicians, right? And you know, she's on there like every day now that obviously one of her house gigs is restarted, you know, and the fact that this woman's singing at some sort of restaurant every weekend, and that's all I see, just kills me. That woman should be, you know, theaters all across the planet as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, but she's on there just pumping it, and the people are responding, and, you know, you can see that people are able to utilize it, and I don't see that you can do it without playing that game, you know, because even if you're with a major label, the major labels are going to play that game for you. So the validity of the modern beast that the industry has to work in is confirmed. It's the industry that hasn't quite caught up to how to deal with the new reality.
It's killing to me. It's this kind of technology is killing a lot of the musicians' mystique. I remember times when you would get their albums and you would see an article. Now the fact that they have to be everywhere at once, and I remember someone was telling me the symptom. They said they want to know what you're doing every day rather than every year, and this is a problem for a lot of musicians because you have to have something going on constantly in flux because it's become part of the culture. The people want to know what you're doing, and you have to respond in a certain way. And if you're not into this kind of technology, it can be, to me, I can imagine it's a drag for people.
Well, you know, I think you make a great point. It's like it's such a double-edged sword. Because, I mean, at the moment, I've been following really closely the Alice in Chains tour blog just because Baldy's really fun to read. It's a fucking riot. It reads like if I wrote it. And just because he's, you know, 20, 30 years on the road, and it's hysterical. He's seen everything. And now I dig that, but I get that's, you know, when the tour ends, that's not going to continue to run, you know, and the expectations are just so bizarre that, you know, what? How are you supposed to write anything when you're sitting there bloody tweeting and blogging all the time? Are you a musician or are you, you know, a chiclet key operator?
I mean, for God's sakes, they're probably making the next hit songs about tweeting right now.
That's always going to happen. Music has always done social commentary, and I mean that's cool. And there's been some really funny stuff. And the trick is, if you could make something like that actually last in the zeitgeist for more than, you know, 2 weeks, then you're kind of a genius.
Yeah. So I guess we should get to.
Let's get to the track. What do you got for
us? This track is being referred to as the song that We Are the World should have been. And it's a great collaboration of one of my favorite artists. And he's from D.C. And this is a R&B soul type vibe, but he's really diverse. He mixes gospel and jazz and hip-hop. And he's kind of like the bridge of mainstream R&B and soul to the underground, where he can walk the line finally. There are only a few people who can do that, and this particular artist is. And we'll talk about who it is. I'm not going to name the name, and I just want people to listen to it and judge for themselves. The song is called, it's a bit of a social political move. It's called Nobody Wins a War.
All right, without further ado. Buffer.
One will win the war. be free of this sick bureaucracy. No more death tolls with our morning coffee. Oh, government, you have lost your feeling for life. It is war that you reap, but the loss is too great, and the pain is too deep. The scars do not heal. Your system is thoughtless, and your vision is weak. Your actions are hurtful. You never find what you seek. You make the sky a storm. You destroy the earth, make possibilities bleak. Your lies are your destruction. Your justice stinks. Your pride is maniacal. You are the bearer of grief. Your wind is shallow. Your truth is oblique. Your patriotism is garbage. It rots and it reeks of death in the wind, the foul stench of men, basking in their cruelty, rejoicing in their sin. You give up and give over so easily to the darker side. Because of your pride, you risk all of humanity. You send my children to murder human beings. Families they do not yet know. People they have never seen. You send my children to war without exasperating dialogue to get to the meat and equal understanding, as if there isn't even a possibility for peace. But there is always a possibility for peace. As imperfect as we are, we should in all ways reach deep, deep down in our beings. Oh, this wicked, wicked system of things, as our grandmothers say, will soon be no more. Will soon be no more. Because nobody, no one ever wins a war.
That's outstanding, David.
Yeah, that song is a song off the new upcoming album by Raheem Devon, and that album comes out March 2nd. It's called Love and War Masterpiece, spelled with P-E-A-C-E. And it's an interesting collaboration, because what he did was, the person at the end of that, in case people want to know who did the spoken word on that, that's Jill Scott.
Ah.
And she's quite the poet, and to me, this is a bit of a risky choice if they're going to do this for a single, but I hope they do, because we've talked about this for a bit, John, and R&B and soul has been so boxed in for statement songs. They haven't done any statement songs in a long, long time. They're few and far between. I mean, Curtis Mayfield is gone. Marvin Gaye is out of here. All of these people who make these statement songs, even the Isley Brothers, mainly it's just like relationship and club songs. And to hear something like this, it's medicine a lot of ways, because a lot of families are dealing with this, and this is something in our lives that we need to touch on and speak about. And I mean, to me, Raheem Devon, he's like a statesman. He's able to get these musicians together. And in case people didn't know, there's a lot of R&B artists on there. There's Bilal, there's a woman named Chrisette Michelle. And he put them all together on this track, and the reason why he did it is it's kind of like a summit track. He wants people more tuned into the issues of the day. And he gets that because of the way he was raised and the place that he's from. And it'll make sense to you, John, when I tell you where he's from. He's from Washington, D.C. So when you're from Washington, D.C., and you have a musical background, you're going to want – a lot of people in D.C. will not – if you start out in the club circuit, if you're not saying something and you're in the R&B soul world and you can't be felt, they'll let you know. And they'll let you know right on the stage. They'll come up to you and go, wow, what you're doing is pointless. And it's not – you're not a musician. You're not a singer. And see, to me, a song like that is the direction where we should be going – instead of something like rehashing We Are the World.
Yeah.
That's what people want to hear. They want to hear the stuff that is going on, that is happening right now in the world, when they turn on the TV, when they turn on the radio, you know, and when the lyrics themselves and the approach of what they're talking about, Like I said, a lot of people can relate because we all have somebody who is tied to this war in some way. It's all integral to us.
Well, and being from D.C., I mean, if there ever was a place in America that is a lost political football,
right?
It's D.C. because it's not a state, you know, for all, you know, all the jurisdictional protections have ended up, you know, it's constantly in suffering. And so there would be tons of stories to tell living, you know, growing up in D.C. So, and I would think in a place like that, the audience would want someone to actually be telling the stories as opposed to, like you said, you know, relationship and, you know, party tunes. And, you know, I really do feel that we've run the gamut on this, you know, American Idol, you know, kind of crap, that people are really hungering for other things. There's a little program on Australian television that if you can find it on YouTube or something somewhere, because I don't think you'll be able to view it overseas. On SBS, there's a show called Rock Whiz. Mm-hmm. And this, there are actually two music programs here, Rock Whiz and another one called Spicks and Specks. But Rock Whiz just shows me, because its ratings are supposedly like just continue to surge, and it's been going for 7 or 8 years. And it's where, you know, there's two teams, there's a house band who's just incredible, and there's two teams with two people pulled from the audience, and then one person on each team is some sort of famous Australian or visiting musician. And when they're introduced, there's an opening question, you know, whoever can figure out who the guest is, you know, they come out. And then they, like, play one of their tunes with the house band, who can play anything. It's a three-piece band, and it's led by the drummer, but the guy, there's a bass player, then there's one guy that plays keyboards and guitar at the same time, constantly switching back and forth, and sometimes playing both in the same song, right? And you know, so it's like B3 organ and all this stuff, and it's just, but then at the end, the two guests do a duet together. And there's sometimes some of the most odd pairings, and then other times you have people who, you know, come from a similar zeitgeist, and then find a piece of music that they both love, and just for this moment, it's the only time it'll ever happen, you get this performance that is just outrageous. Week before last, it was Jeff Martin from the Tea Party, and an Australian singer who you might not know of, a woman by the name of Tina Arena. And you could kind of say that she's an Australian Celine Dion, but I think she's much more than that, so much so that she's actually had to move to France to be appreciated. And has done a whole bunch of songs in multiple languages and things like that. Well, they did a Peter Gabriel tune. Peter Gabriel, and I can't think of her name at the moment, duet from the 80s. And they did their own version of it. And the place just went batshit. And as I watch the ratings for every version of Idol plummet, and I watch all this kind of stuff, and we see guys like Gabriel popping up and you know, the stalwarts that, you know, are going, okay, everybody's had enough, and people are actually starting to hunger for this stuff. And so I do think we're going to see more. I love this track that you brought tonight. The lyric, I hope the lyrics are online somewhere, because it was just...
The one thing I wanted to say, that why it's a big deal, and because... In the black music industry, if you can't do things like this until you get to a certain level. Like if you're a white artist, you get more leeway in how you can interact and how you can say these kind of statement songs. And the fact, here's the other kicker, John, that you're gonna really be impressed by. He has Dr. Cornel West narrating the album. So
he's thought
this whole through, and the fact that this shows you the kind of cred that he has, and he's able to reach out to the musicians, the artists, the poets, the authors, the philosophers, the professors, and he's able to bring that socio-political environment into that area, and at the same time he can have the people who are in R&B mainstream relate to him at the same time, because that's important. He's kind of like a Barack Obama of R&B, if you will. He's a statesman. I mean, a lot of people who like him, they don't listen to the stuff that he listens to. They don't read the stuff that he listens to. But because he's from D.C. and because he has that background in the black community and because he has paid his dues as an artist and he comes from the hip-hop generation, quote-unquote, this is an important figure. And I'm really happy that Jive Records is continuing to push him, even though he hasn't gone platinum like a John Legend or something. But Jive Records is sticking with him, and I really hope like the third album goes gold and past that. He really deserves it, and he's one of the hardest working musicians, vocalists out there, and he deserves what's coming to him. And there are a lot of examples of different styles and sounds that he flirts with, and that he can and his range is amazing. He has dead on like Marvin Gaye harmonies. Have I played you?
Well,
you
but that was the thing that really struck me was the vocal production on it, and I was actually thinking, wow, this is kind of something that only could have been done with digital, and not saying that it's been messed with, but just by how many tracks he was able to amass and make it not appear cluttered.
Right.
I thought some beautiful engineering work on it, that jumps out. Like, and if you tell people their stories, your style is not nearly as important in the beginning.
Right.
Because you've gotten them with the story you're telling. And, you know, so I know some people would be like, well, music should just be about music. It shouldn't matter about the lyrics. And I couldn't disagree more. Yeah, there are times where there aren't lyrics, and that's music too. And it's not any more pure, and it's not any more important. But we live in an era where music is the, you know, rhythm behind our poetry and telling our stories. And so I do think that, you know, maybe this is all part of that same thing that I feel like we're on the cusp of, you know, of really seeing some great new things happen. And just by watching from my angle, and I hate the term, like I even heard you using it, you know, the black music industry. But, I hate the fact that, like, you know, why isn't it just a music industry? You know, my favorite band, Alice in Chains, isn't a white band anymore. You know, from all angles, I don't like the idea that it's that. But I have watched over the last decade that even the most mainstream of R&B artists are going out with full on bands. That even that whole idea of it being a manufactured thing that can be just repetitively churned out doesn't actually, you know, kind of satisfy the way that it used to. And that's for the performer and for the audience. And just a natural progression have, you know, like I told you, when I saw Blackstreet, I had no idea, you know, I mean, that it was going to be that live of a thing. And it was, and it was so much better than I ever expected it would have been if I had seen the show that I assumed they would have brought.
Well, you know, the thing with someone like Raheem Devon is the fact that he doesn't just have he's not just aware of the contemporary productions. He's also aware of the tradition of musicians and families of musicians, and he always tries to incorporate them in tracks, which is what has been lacking in R&B so much. And I think with the emergence of someone like D'Angelo. When he happened in the scene in mid-90s, he reawakened that spirit so people on major labels could see that that you could actually bring a musicianship to the forefront. And when he went away after the Voodoo album, and he's still in flux right now, I mean, he's been away for 10 years. So there is a place, there's that vacuum for artists like Raheem Devon and people like that who have seen the torch. They see it's on the ground, or they see it's falling, and they pick it up, or they catch it just in time. And I think that's what we're witnessing in music, in all kinds of idioms. I think that's what needs to be done. The fact that there are torches falling, we need to encourage more people to get out there and play and perform if they have it in them.
Yeah, yeah, I'm involved with a group of people at the moment that's very much what the exercise is about. It's not just about the project that they're doing, but trying to also be part of starting the next wave. I'm working with a bunch of people that, you know, aren't kids. You know, they're not old, but they're not 18 and they're not 20. So, you know, there's a bit of mentoring going on when it comes to the support acts that we've got. And that kind of thing. And because I feel like we, as in people that come at the industry from the angle that I think you do, like I do, like certain people that I know come from, you know, back in the 70s, you know, and kind of into the 80s, the labels not only developed the artists that they signed, but the industry fed back into producing the next generation.
Right, right.
And that no longer happens. So more and more, I'm finding that when I'm out there, not only should I be looking out for the people that I'm looking out for, but I feel like I have to also look out a bit for those who haven't played the game before.
I understand what you're saying, and just to give you an idea of where I'd like to see music go in the future, I would like to see someone, I myself would like to do this. I'd like to start a music network channel that just features documentaries all day long on the TV channel. So you would have all music documentaries of all genres constantly going. And I guess in a certain way, Ovation, I don't know if you've ever seen the Ovation channel, they were sort of like that, and they sort of are, still are, but their programming was, they only featured a few documentaries and they just reran them over and over and over again. I think to keep people interested, you need what is said in the industry, it's a cliche, but you need content. And there's so much content, there's so many documentaries out there, and there's so many performances that you can splice that with, that the history of recorded music that we have of over 100 plus years, I mean, John, it's to me, I think it's doable in the future. I don't know how you would get it on DirecTV or any of these cable networks, but you might be able to, and I think the hunger is there for it.
Yeah, I think you could also fill some of that programming in, not with just straight docos, but also running, you know, the great music, you know, dramatic films like Ray. I think Ray just awesome movie. You know, you know, the Buddy Holly story. You know, you can run all these really great classic dramatic, you know, relivings. I think that would be fantastic. And how cool, I think that it's a great idea, and how cool would it be, like, you know, you got a kid who sits down to intentionally watch, which actually just aired here this weekend, Green Day's concert live at the Fox Theater, which was excellent. And then say, like, straight after you had the Pink Floyd doco that I just saw recently, Which One's Pink, which was so good. That one, seriously see that, because it's you know, after Sid, it's done recently, and they really go back, and almost 60% of it actually lives in the pre-Sid days, and they really, really talk about how, you know, really at some point he just broke his brain, and how it was the first time that they saw a band that you really saw it was could live on past a foundation member, because they were still able to maintain this, you know, similar vibe, no matter how, you know, I mean, because the you go through early Pink Floyd records, and I mean, they got out there.
Right.
You know, I mean, they really, really were fucking avant-garde for a while. And you know, so like a kid who might only know hearing, you know, the top three hits off Bloody the Wall and Division Bell, you know, actually goes and sees like, holy crap, wow, these guys used to like get out there and, you know, do 20-minute jams that were, you know, hardly even planned, and audiences, you know, tripped on it, you know, and so to, you know, to offer something that offered that much, not just the, you know, self-proclaimed, self, you know, kind of masturbatory doco, which you can guess, you know, which is you talking about how great you are.
Right.
Because I've been involved in producing one of these things because it's something you got to do.
Right.
And, you know, this is part of playing media games. And you know what it's like trying to write one of those scripts, man? And even knowing what you're doing and just sitting there going, God, this all sounds like horse shit because I'm talking about music instead of, you know, playing music. Trying, you know, it's like Bob talking about, you know, movies over the radio kind of thing.
Right.
And so, you know, but I think that's a great concept, though, man. And, like, Ovation, I've heard of it. I never really saw it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know. But see, then again, when you first mentioned it, I go, yeah, the first thing that would happen, like if it's a Viacom thing or whatever, they'll be putting, they'll be putting, you know, first offer to whoever wants to pay for their DACO to promote the album that they got coming out next week, kind of thing.
They'll
like,
plays classic rock.
Oh, yeah. And there was one that was shown here. There was this Bon Jovi movie thing, and it was really well done, and I watched it because, you know, well, I'm from New Jersey, and, you know, it is kind of part of my history anyway. And, you know, it kind of showed John for being the business guy he is and all of that. And I'm just kind of like going, wow, that's really weird. You just never really hear about Bon Jovi down here. Why'd that pop up? And then sure enough, within an hour, I see an advertisement on a different network because the DACO, the so-called film DACO, was on the ABC, which is commercial-free. On another channel, I see, you know, the new latest Bon Jovi record out tomorrow. I'm going, right, okay, I see why that popped up.
Right.
You know, and so, you know, unfortunately, I think this way. Every good idea ends up being co-opted by someone's business interest because they want to profit off the idea, but they'll end up never letting it remain anything that made it good to begin with. But I think it's a brilliant idea. I really do think it's a brilliant idea. I'd almost get cable to have that.
Well, you know, I just wanted to mention before we get out of here the thing with Chili that people should keep in mind is in 2006 they changed the earthquake scale, and they changed it by 1.0. So really, it's a 9.8, people.
Yeah, it's you take it out of the logarithmic scale, and it's hundreds of times more powerful than Haiti.
Right, and I think the other thing that's important to keep in mind is the fact that. I think what we need to do in this situation where we have an earthquake like that is we need to just not feature it in some type of shock porn. That's how I noticed CNN was doing it. You know,
yeah.
They really wanted that Hawaii tsunami to happen. And you know, when that tsunami didn't happen, you could tell there was like a what do we do now?
Yeah. It was like it was an advertisement for a gig, and everybody and these like, idiots show up sitting there going, wow, cool, destruction.
They prolonged it so bad. They were like, well, we've just received word that the first wave may have hit. We're waiting for a confirmation on that. And I was like, bullshit. The first wave did hit, and this is it. This is the tsunami you guys hyped up. This is what you wanted. You're going to have to ride out for how many hours of programming because you didn't plan anything else?
Well, see that, yeah, okay. I kind of think I started was misunderstanding you for a minute, because I don't have a problem with the warning system. The warning system did its job.
Right.
And but yeah, the media jumps on this thing. And, you know, it was interesting. The Australian media didn't get all, you know, crazy about it, right? But, you know, they, on the news reports, they mentioned it. And, you know, saying, look, they're just saying, you know, stay off the beach in these areas and take care. We could have a sudden rise in sea level, you know, and yeah, just don't be stupid. And, but of course, once you tell people to not be stupid, you're going to end up having 2% of the population sitting there going, wait, you told me to come out and be a fucking moron? And you're going to get them. And so, and the media feeds it when they do like they did over there. And it is the problem with the 24-hour news channels, man. It is a problem because you can just sit there and perpetuate nothing into something massive in, you know, 12 hours. It's ridiculous.
And before I go, I just wanted to mention what a tragedy it is that Barack Obama and the Obama administration have re-signed on the extension of the Patriot Act. You know, John, that to me is like one of the biggest examples of us not going in the direction of our civil liberties and where the politicians and the really want to take us.
Yeah,
and people pay attention to that. And you need to pay attention to the catches that comes with extending the Patriot Act. What it means for you, what it means for your family, what it means for your community. Because I guarantee you, it's closing in all around us. And the fact, again, how many times can we give Dennis Kucinich kudos and props for standing up and saying, this is not what the Constitution represents. This is not what America's about. This is not how we get our way onto our way of making a democracy for ourselves that we can all live in and contribute to. And I really I don't know what the Obama administration is thinking about, but I don't want to live in an oligarchy and I don't want to live in a prison state. And I'm afraid we're going there with the foot pedal, with the gas pedal all the way down.
Yeah, and there was actually a link sent to me while we were talking from Gene about that. Also, it seems as though the hands-off policy on the internet is now off. And I haven't had a chance to read it, and I'll try and get to it in the last hour, that some of our discussions about, you know, the performances on Saturday Night Live and stuff like that and all that, you know, looking for creativity on the internet, Gene sent it, you know, sent it over with a little line, something to the effect of, you know, hate to burst your bubble, but. So maybe that's something that you and I should both check out and we should pick up next week even maybe, because the things like the Patriot Act and shit like this, now you're really starting to really screw the pooch as far as I'm concerned. And it also begs the question from me. A guy that I think is as smart as Obama is.
Mm-hmm.
Is the whole system so screwed, man, that even a guy with no delusions about him not being, you know, centrist can end up being, you know, either twisted, manipulated, or stalled, like we've watched is the popular tactic in a lot of things, that is it impossible for anyone to actually get anything done anymore? I just some of what I've been actually hearing out of Pelosi lately, where she's just like, look, I wrangled my cats.
Right.
You know, and what else do you want me to do if the president can't come down and make this work, and this whole Senate thing where we run government on a double standard depending on who's in power. But I refrain from it, but I've had nights, you know, recently where I've just been, you know, y'all are fucked, because I cannot believe, but yet it's apparently obvious that this stuff is still going to go on. And yeah, you're headed, it's a police state. And it's getting pretty scary, man. But we're way over the break. But because you mentioned him, I got Jeff Beck coming up next, man. Thanks very much. Great track today.
No problem, John. I just want to say for the people who want to know who that artist again, it's Raheem Devon, and the album comes out March 2nd. It's Love and War Masterpiece. It's on Jive Records. It should be in stores everywhere.
And Gene's posted the link on the blog already.
All right, that's good. That's good. As always, John, it's been great talking to you.
All right, man. You take care. Thanks very much.
No problem.
Have a good week.
Later.
Bye. All right, and with that, we're going to take this break a little late, and we had this, because I told you I was searching up boots, and the very first thing I got was Jeff Beck.
And lead boots.
You listen to Foxed Up here on the Horn. We'll be back. Get this in ya.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We did.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance, and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
We should be able to deliver bottled hot water to dehydrated babies.
What the hell is that shit?
Two down, one to go. It's your third hour of All Foxed Up with John Fox. You can reach the show at 877-443-2366. Let's get back to John on the Head On Radio Network.
Everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network, the beginning of hour three. 9 minutes after the hour 3 p.m. here on Monday afternoon in Australia, and it's, what, 10 past 11 over there on the East Coast, and something like 8 o'clock over there, Tim. Ah, thanks, David. Great track, man. Really, really, really cool track. I'm going to listen to that one after the show. I got to pick apart some of that vocal production a bit. And again, you'll be able to find a link to the sample track probably that David sent at today's blog post. Thank you, Gene. And his name is Raheem Devon, and the track is called Nobody Wins a War. Really, really, really cool. Okay. See, you know, you plan your show out, and then things come up, and you go, okay, we'll go there. And Lottie cuts and pastes something in there, and he sends the link. This is just too scary. Okay. NPR did some sort of piece on the Quiverful movement, where birth control is shunned. And they talk to people about how God, you know, the whole breed like rabbits thing. And I'm sorry. The whole giving birth to children so they can be projectile weapons
for your nonsensical God. And you scroll down a bit, and this is the bit that Lottie put in the chat room.
Lottie, this is disturbing. Why do you do this?
But anyway.
I know why you do this. Because these are the fucking people
that get airtime, and these are the people that our government panders to.
Ah!
Womb is a powerful weapon. Eek! That's also the hope of Nancy Campbell, a leader of the Quiverful movement and author of Be Fruitful and Multiply. The womb is such a powerful weapon. It's a weapon against the enemy, Campbell says. Campbell has 35 grandchildren. She and her husband stopped at 6 kids, and it's her great regret. I think, help, imagine if I had more of these children, Campbell says, adding, my greatest impact is through my children. The more children I have, the more ability I have to impact the world for God. A Christian God, that is. Remember, can't be one of those other funny, weird gods, because we're atheists about everybody but our version of the God of Abraham. A Christian God, that is, Campbell says, if believers don't start reproducing in large numbers, biblical Christianity will lose its voice. We look across the Islamic world and we see, here we go. It's about them brown people. Them brown people that worship that Abraham. We look across, this is just bizarre, man. We look across the Islamic world and we see they are outnumbering us in their family size. And they are in many places and many countries taking over those nations without jihad, just by multiplication. Still, Quiverful is a small group, probably 10,000 fast-growing families, mainly in the Midwest and South. But they have large ambitions, says Catherine Joyce, who has written about the movement in her book Quiverful, Inside the Christian Patriarchy Movement. What? What? They speak out. If everyone starts having eight children or 12 children, imagine in 3 generations what we'll be able to do. We'll be able to take over both halls of Congress. We'll be able to reclaim sinful cities like San Francisco for the faithful, and will be able to wage very effective, massive boycotts against companies that are going against God's will. What a fucking mental moron. When all you have is to say, all I gotta do is pop out more babies! The world can't support all the ones we got! Holy crap! And on the flip side, earlier this week, Barack Obama meets with atheists at the White House, okay? And I'm going, yeah, cool! Right on, cool! Bit of fair airtime! And of course, the religious right's got to come out. You can't be hosting these hate groups. You know what? Fuck you! Who's the hateful one? Who's the one that sits there going, my God says the gays should be killed? Because they're an abomination. See, I made a fun abomination! Fuck me dead! And, oh, by the way, Sue, folks, if you haven't been to ELO's blog at the Horn, rantingkeyboard.headonradionetwork.com, ELO, I think Gene needs that little image that you have, that little warning image saying, you know, I say fuck, shit, crap, all that, a lot. I think we need one of those for this show. I love that image. And go and check out her post, her most recent post. It's good fun. But, you know, I see the, he's He's hosting people that deal in reality. He's hosting hateful people that live in the here and now. They live in the here and now and actually worry about what they're doing to their human brothers right next to them right here and now. They ain't worried about our God being pissed off because he thought the gays should be able to marry. Don't they know it's an abomination? Because it is, people, it's an abomination because we got Obama, he's the president. Again, I come back to opposite world. The United States of America has fully become opposite world. Up is down. Down is up. Death is life and life is death. And being pro-life means you only have to give a shit till the baby's born. I feel like the last few minutes, I'm like channeling, maybe not so much my inner Hicks, but my inner Henry Rollins. Oh, no. If you've never seen Hank do his spoken word, go. It'll be the best ticket you've bought in a long time. He's funny. and he's good and he's smart. But, okay. I could sit there and go on about how stupid this is on, like, multiple levels on, you know. But this is what happens when you have nothing else. Breed more to program because we can't convince logical beings of our views. So we will breed them. And form, you know, this is all part of that same kind of vibe, something that scares the crap out of me. Bob talks about this from time to time. I was talking about this with my neighbor, saying, you know, and one of my neighbors who lived in the United States for a long time, and I said, you know, the thing that scares the crap out of me is that you actually have a segment of the population who actually seriously will say to your face going, no kid of mine's going to think he's smarter than me. And you say this to reasonable people, and they react in shock horror, as you should. What parent would actually actively want their child to be less intelligent than themselves? And they sit there and talk about the liberals want to tear everybody down, make them all the same. That's bullshit. Perfect example. This fucked up stuff. I mean, really. This is like, the people that perpetrate this stuff, it's frightening. Because, you know, when reality's harder to accept, bullshit goes down easy. When you don't know any better. Incredible. Incredible. And the atheists are the hate group. Fuck you, Donahue. I think that's the, of course, first knee-jerk reactive asshole that popped up. I mean, that kind of stuff really freaks me out, you know. It'll be the same people that'll be, none of my kids are going to think they're fucking smarter than me. Are the same people that are going to be, I got to breed more morons. I gotta breed more fucking intellectually blind children to support me because I actually don't have reality on my side. I'm deluded. Or
or I've been manipulated, or the real world is so fucking hard for you to deal with that you have to escape to a fucking fantasy. As far as I'm concerned, the trick is, the hard thing to do is to not get pregnant. And to channel Bill Hicks just a little bit. All, you know, especially people like this. All this shit. Where people are like, isn't life great? Let's just create more life. How about making a good place for kids to come to first? I believe I'm directly quoting there. Incredible. Incredible. Like that, I think I need to refresh my fluids because my throat's a little raw. I wonder why. What else do we have in the playlist? You know, before we go out, over the weekend, I don't know if you caught Real Time Bill Maher. Nice to have him back. And I believe it was the editor for one of the editors for the Financial Times that talked about, in this whole healthcare debate thing, probably where the White House screwed it up, was the fact that they took the wrong tactic, and I've been saying similar. And she had kind of an interesting point, that they actually should have gone on a bit with the fear campaign. You know, the 45,000 people a year that die because of lack of access to healthcare. Instead of allowing the right wing to define it as, well, if they get it, it means they're taking it away from those who already have it, which is fucking brilliant political wedge making. Should have been, you could be next. You could be next. And down the road, you should be better off. And this means going with, like, Medicare for all, single payer, something real. And along those lines, this song I thought was interesting popped up when I did my keyword search. It's a great Police tune off of Synchronicity, I do believe. Walking in Your Footsteps. I reckon this is a track that should be mandatory in the playlist for people who could possibly be so selfish as to be made fearful of you're going to lose yours if someone else gets theirs. Walking in Your Footsteps. You're listening to Foxed Up here on the Horn. We'll be back in a minute. By the way, Jimbo gets the toaster before on that singer, and I've forgotten it already. Anyway, you're listening to The Horn, America's Liberal Voice. We'll be back after this.
50 million years ago, you walked upon the palace. Thought of all that you could see, just a little bit like me, walking. We'll be right back.
great track. All right, next one coming up. When I saw this pop up in the list, I'm sitting there going, yeah, I reckon this is what Obama must have felt like when he went into that Republican summit thingy, trying to walk the GOP through reality. Walk the dinosaur, was not was.
It's so 80s, but gotta love them horn patches.
Actually, how kind of groovy that song is. Okay, now for something completely different. I will be picking up the new band's album, Armada, but previously, Jeff Martin from the Tea Party and Walking Wounded. This is gorgeous.
Is it safe to look within?
Ah, the mighty Tea Party. Sometimes it's amazing the noise that three people can make. And just because we have to get there before the day is out. The track that must be played every single show. Mr. Michael Franti. And Stay Human.
Starvation is a creation of the devil, the rebel. I'm bringing food to the people like a widow. Bringing flowers to a grave in the middle of the city. Isolation is a riddle. To be surrounded by a million other people, but feel alone like a tree in the desert. Dried up like the skin of a lizard, but full of color like the spots of a leopard. Drum and bass pull me in like a shepherd. Scratch my itch like a needle on the record. Full of life like a man going to Mecca. Sky high like an eagle up soaring. I speak low but I'm like a lion roaring. Baritone like a Robeson recording. I'm giving thanks for being human every morning. Morning. Because the streets are alive with the sound of boom bap. Can I hear it once again? Boom bap. Tell your neighbor, tell a friend. Every flower got a right to be blooming. The streets are alive with the sound of boom bap. Can I hear it once again? Boom bap. But tell your neighbor, tell a friend. Every flower got a right to be blooming. Be resistant the negativity, we keep it at a distance. Go for backup and I'll give you some assistance. Like a lifesaver deep in the ocean. Stay afloat here upon the funky motion. Rock and roll upon the waves of the season. Hold your breath and you're underwater breathing. To be rhyming without a real reason is to claim and not to practice a religion. If television is the drug of the nation, satellite is immaculate reception. Beaming in, they can look and they can listen. So you see, don't believe in the system. To legalize you or give you your freedom. You want rights, ask them to read them. But every flower got a right to be blooming. Stay human, because the streets are alive with the sound of boom bap. Can I hear it once again? Boom bap. But tell your neighbor, tell a friend. Every flower got a right to be blooming. The streets are alive with the sound of boom bap. But can I hear it once again? Boom bap. But tell your neighbor, tell a friend. Every flower got a right to be blooming. Because all the freaky people make the beauty of the world. All the freaky people make the beauty of the world. All the freaky people make the beauty of the world. All the freaky people make the beauty of the world. Because all the freaky people make the beauty of the world. Aha. We saw the freaky people make the beauty of the world. Stay human. You see why 2K and 2 is a moment in time we find that we can open up a heart that's locked or been broken by the pain of words not spoken, nor shot by guns or still smoking. Cartwrights out on the Ponderosa, or drive by Bang and Testarossa. We need to heed the words of Dalai Lama, or at least the words of your mama. Take a mental trip to the Bahamas. Steam your body in a stereo sauna, sauna, comma. Because the streets are alive with the sound of boom bap. But can I hear it once again? Boom bap. But tell your neighbor, tell a friend. Every flower got a right to be blooming. The streets are alive with the sound of boom bap. But can I hear it once again? Boom bap. But tell your neighbor, tell a friend. Every flower got a right to be blooming. The streets are alive with the sound of boom bap. But can I hear it once again? Boom bap. But tell your neighbor, tell a friend. Every flower got a right to be blooming. The streets are alive with the sound of boom bap. But can I hear it once again? Boom bap. But tell your neighbor, tell a friend. Every flower got a right to be blooming. Because all the freaky people make the beauty of the world. All the freaky people make the beauty of the world. All the freaky people make the beauty of the world. All the freaky people make the beauty of the world. All the freaky people make the beauty of the world. Ha 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 ha. Because all the freaky people make the beauty of the world. Stay human.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance, and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Boxed up here on the Head On Radio Network, and there's a little bit of Green Day, a song for the fucking GOP at the moment, Walking Contradiction. And if you haven't seen it, like I said, on the weekend they aired this Green Day live from the Fox Theater. Really well-produced concert video. Great. Really was good. Sounded good. Whoever did the mix, nice job. Anyway, what a full program. We're kind of like running out of time here. We've got a couple minutes left and really didn't even get to the bloody phones today. But that happens sometimes. You know, it's just so bizarre watching things over there, you know. That the whole healthcare, you know, the bipartisan fucking roundtable thing. And it was such a great example of why the system's so screwed. You know, I watched it, and I have to admit that when I was watching it, I was kind of starting to push on the delirious because I was up at that point for about 24 hours, and I'm watching this, and I'm going, wow, is this surreal because I'm out of it tired, or is this surreal because, like, when Boehner opened up his mouth and just kind of went down the whole talking point list, where it really did sound like, you know, and I just really wanted, you know, Barack Obama to be like, mate, do you want me to send the wambulance? Because, I mean, it's just such childish nonsense. You know, even you, not considering the shit that's pissing me off, like this extension of the Patriot Act thing, and now suddenly going to start siding up with possibly controlling content. So I'm going to check all this stuff out that's kind of come in this week. I think David and I need to have a talk about this internet stuff next weekend. While all that's going on, you know, you usually would think that they do some good things to distract you while they're doing the dirty deals. But now, they'll just fuck up everything and still go and do the dirty shit. But, you know, some 300 pieces of legislation have gotten through the House. Then the Senate just locks the fucking things up so they can never get to the president. Not on grounds. And you get into all this stuff where, you know, appointees aren't being bloody, you know, approved and all that, because they're all being held for, you know, my constituent shit. And I'm starting to notice, like, did you notice in the healthcare debate where, was it Mitch McConnell that kept talking about his constituents? And it really sounded like he was talking about that the insurance companies were his constituents. And I don't think he was the only one that used this kind of language as a way to make people who aren't paying attention say, oh, he's talking about the people. No, he's not talking about the people. Nice one, Sue. In the chat room, we have a little image in there going, time to call the ambulance. It's really becoming another one of my reactions that I'm just having now. You know, getting in a discussion and someone's like, oh, no, but you keep proving me wrong and you suck. Or you keep showing me facts that prove that I'm ignorant about something. Well, it's like, well, fucking here's a violin playing for you. Your ignorance is not grounds for getting a free fucking ride. And to quote one of my family members, whose name will not be mentioned, when saying I'd send him some information on solar geothermal, when he says, don't send me too much to read, I don't like to read. And it's just like, and you want to have a fact-based discussion with me on greater issues. Do you not understand how moronic that is and how frightening that is? And how ultimately destructive it is. And, you know, you know, there are other things. I think it was this week that, you know, pinup boy Scotty Brown actually voted with the Dems on the jobs bill. And, you know, it's like, okay, cool. But from what I understand on his Facebook page and other places, the rabid right-wingers are coming out going, traitor! You know, backstabber! And it's like, really? It isn't possible for him to see something has merit and say, yeah, I can support that? You know, I mean, it doesn't make him like, you know, some flaming liberal in my mind. But, you know, that just, you know, and these people are, they're calling this guy a traitor. It's like, aren't your fucking neighbors hurting as well? And I mean, the same games always play with jobs bills. Fucking the obstructionists, regardless of who they are, will always, you know, cave at the last minute because they fucking play to their base, but they're not actually going to be able to go to their own constituents having voted down a jobs bill or an unemployment extensions bill. You know, I mean, come on. And it seems the inability for the conversation, I mean, we do it here. We do a much better job of it here than other places. But to allow the conversation to
get outside of one side's talking points versus another side's talking points, and actually get down to the nitty gritty, which even in that you know event last week, there were moments where there were people actually trying to do that on both sides, even. But someone's got to pop up and just start talking shit. And then that shit gets repeated over and over in the news cycle, and then you got a whole bunch of people that actually don't pay attention to what the fuck's going on, so they're going, yeah, I heard them too. See, it's all just, it's all fine. It's socialism and fascism. Huh? Again, the lack of, you know, and, you know, it's not like I'm a history major. But it's that difference between having a belief and an idea, or believing in something and thinking something is true based on the evidence that you have seen, all of it, especially if it's been challenged and it stands up. This can like kind of go to virtually every problem that the world and especially the United States faces at the moment. And there's a whole bunch of stuff I didn't get to. There's a great story out there. You'll find the link at the blog post about this new union that's formed for the unemployed. I think that's brilliant to actually have a union for people that, you know, are trying to get work. I think that's brilliant to have someone actually fighting for the unemployed for decent wages and conditions and all the rest of it. So, and, you know, there's just various, tons of shit that I didn't get to today. Stuff. Pardon. What else didn't I get to today? Because we're, you know, quickly running out of time. And I have been seeing, to go off and do this thing that we have to do, I have been seeing donations come in, which is really, really great, seeing a lot of new listeners coming into the horn. And keep it coming. Especially, you know, and those of you that have been supporting us all this time, we start kicking it up a bit. This network's going to start being able to do more, and there's lots in the works at the moment, you know. And got Miss Black on now on the weekends with Rick, and I see a good year for the horn, which 6 months ago I wasn't so sure. But hey, there you go. That's the world in which we live, in a media situation that's just ass frickin' backwards, you know? Yeah. I'd like to see my rambling wrap up, and I don't think I'm gonna see it, because I just don't think that the collective American headspace can be turned around to reality quick enough. And I think it almost doesn't matter at the moment with some of the long-term people that have been in government. Like I said before, I wish there was a double disillusion situation that you could have in the United States where you just throw them all out and tell them to run for their seats again. Because they're not getting the job done. See, this is the thing. We don't have the accountability you know, to actually, you know, tell them, you know what, you're not getting the job done. Fucking go out and tell us why we should continue to let you do this job for us and represent us. But anyway, with that said, it is time to get out of here, folks. And, whoops. What's that? Boy, I'm having, like, you know, operator error crap for days today. Anyway, let's try this again. There we go. Thanks for tuning in tonight, folks. Thanks to Ben Birch, the White Rose Society, for the streaming and the archives. Don't forget to hit the donate button either at White Rose or headonradionetwork.com. Thanks to Gene for all the work that he does for the blogging and everything. Thanks to ELO and Lottie and all our mods in the chat room. As we say here on Foxed Up, be good, be green. We'll see you next week.
And the sign said, long-haired freaky people need not apply. So I tucked my hair up under my hat, and I went in to ask him why.
Shit card to get inside.